Last week we talked about the Bible and getting deep into the Word of God and making that an important part of our life and how that impacts us. And today I want to talk about a different subject on faith and trials and kind of allude to what Francisco already read in Scripture. Do you know about 71% of the world's surface is covered by water? Our population is just shy of 8 billion. They say near in sustainability of about 10 billion, but yet we are not aquatic. It's interesting that most of the earth is water. It said about 54% of Americans can't swim, and there are a few people who are considered non-buoyant, meaning you sink. And I am one of them. So it's like a lead balloon. But unfortunately, I'm not here to give you swimming lessons, fortunately, but I want to talk to you about faith and your walk with God. My walk, I don't mean your church attendance or non-attendance. I mean your day-to-day experience with God and your relationship with Him. Faith in Hebrews 11:1 is described as the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Charles Stanley wrote this. He said, trusting God means looking beyond what we can see to see what God sees. Looking beyond what we can see to see what God sees. And Romans remind us where faith comes from. In Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So our faith, our relationship with God is based upon what is written in God's word, and that's what we spoke on last week. But today we want to visit three instances of faith in the Bible paired with how God used water to show how we can put our complete trust in Him when we face the storms of life. Our message is entitled, Deeper Waters, Deeper Waters. Go to the second book of the Bible, the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. And the book of Exodus is about promises fulfilled, deliverance from slavery and bondage to freedom in God. In Exodus 12:33, let me read that first. Exodus 12:33 says this. The Egyptians were urgent with the people and said to them, and said to send them out of our land, for they said, we shall all be dead. So this is after the 10th plague, after 430 years of bondage and slavery. 430 years. That was predicted in Genesis and other parts of the Bible talking about the length of the bondage and the slavery. And it's interesting that God set this all up. He had this all planned, all in mind. So it's about freedom and faith and trials and testing. And our first point is this, deeper waters are the building blocks of faith. Deeper waters are the building blocks of faith. Exodus 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel, turn back and encamp in front of Fifth Pharaoh between Migdol and the sea in front of Beth Pleazon, and you shall encamp facing it by the sea. And it's interesting. They started their Exodus, they're going on their journey, and God takes them, not the shortest way, because the shortest way would have taken them right into battle. But he takes them, he said, I want you to camp right in front of the Red Sea. And by camping right in front of the Red Sea, the part where they crossed is kind of a curvature. So they were basically in a pocket and trapped. In front of them were, you know, Egypt was that way. Pharaoh and his armies were coming toward them. And this side of them was the sea. And God said, camp there. It wasn't a little campground. Possibly, in conservative estimates, over 1 million people. It's a lot of campground. A lot of space was taken up there. For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land, the wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh, over all his hosts, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward them, the people, saying, what is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariots and took his army with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, the king of Pharaoh, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen in his army, and overtook them in camp by the sea, by Fifth Heroth, in front of Baal Stephon. When Pharaoh drew near, all the people lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians were marching after him, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. So they cried out to God. They see them coming. They just witnessed 10 incredible miracles that defeated all the gods of Egypt. God showed that he was a powerful God. Remember, he told them, who should you say that I am? He says, I am. I am everything you need. They saw the power of God and what he can do. But they see, now they're looking at Pharaoh and his armies, and they're afraid. They cry out to him. And verse 11 says this, then they said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you done this to us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. What a perspective. They saw what God has done. They saw his incredible miracles. They see Pharaoh. The sea's behind them. There's no way to go, where to go. And they said, why? You should have just left us be as we were. Let us be slaves. Let us serve. At least we would have died where there was food. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Now, Moses didn't exactly know what God had planned at this point. But he knew what? Through the promises of God, that God was going to do something. So here they were, between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea behind them. And lest you think the Red Sea is a small creek or stream or small lake, the Red Sea is about 169,000 miles completely. And the stretch they crossed was about 9 miles at a depth of about 300 feet, right where they were. So it's not a small task. They're looking. There's 9 miles to go. Remember, there's over 1 million people that got across. So they got across at a depth of 300 feet, over 1 million people. But like many of us, what? We see the problem and not the God who can take over that problem. We see problems behind us, problems in front of us, but we never look up to see what God is saying. And God says, I have a promise for you. I have a plan for you. I have a program for you, but you have to trust in me. So Moses in verse 14 does this. He goes to God. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. You don't have to do anything but what? But wait upon God. And what's the first thing we do when we get into problems? We panic. We run our heart races. We start trying to figure things out. What's plan A? What's plan B? What's plan C? We're doing all this stuff. And God says, wait, be still, and see what I will do. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Well, which forward? Forward that way is toward demise with Pharaoh and his soldiers. Forward this way is a bunch of deep water. Do you know what you're talking about? Go forward. He says, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so that they shall go in after them. I will get glory over Pharaoh and all over all his hosts and his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen. Then the angel of the Lord who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them in the pillar of cloud, moved from them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove back the sea by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went out in the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on the right-hand side and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the most of the sea, and all of Pharaoh's horses and the chariots and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of the cloud looked down upon the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course. And when morning appeared, as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians through the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots of the horsemen and all of the hosts of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, and not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall on their right hand and on their left. Thus said the Lord, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And Israel saw the great power of the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. What a powerful, powerful picture. Lest you think it happened in a moment. It said the waters were divided on both sides. It wasn't just the wind and that dried up. About a 300-foot wall of water on the right, 300-foot wall of water on the left, and they walked on what? On dry ground. That alone is a miracle in itself. And it talked about the morning watch. That was about 2, 3 in the morning. So they're marching all night long, get this million-plus people to the other side, this probably 9-mile stretch. And you can imagine what's going through their mind. They're going through what? Through deep waters. God said, go forward. We went forward. The seas parted. We're walking on dry land. Who is this incredible God that we serve? And the miracle is not necessarily about them and what God did for them. The miracle is about what? God said it so that Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, because I told them and they didn't listen. And so that you will know that I am God, because I told you and you didn't listen. So they're marching on dry ground. And if you know, to get dry ground is a pretty tough thing. I remember when we had our rains not too long ago, and I used that opportunity to break up the grass. It was easy to do because a few days later it was still moist. But here it was just in one pass of God, of the angel of the Lord, and they're walking on dry ground, going through this incredible wall, and they're thinking, wow, what an incredible God we serve. But like many of us, when we see God work and we rejoice, that joy is short-lived because we haven't treaded deep enough into the waters of faith. That was one day of their life. That was one day of their life. Because look what happens. Chapter 15 is the song of Moses. You know, the Lord has triumphed, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. But go down to verse 22. Verse 22. They get to the other side. Here's the problem. Pharaoh and his army, hundreds of feet of water, miles of water behind them. God opens it up. They cross over, and you're going to think what? Wow, God is an incredible God. Think of your journey. Think of your faith. Think of your trials, your struggles. God, if you only get me through this, right? Then I will do what? I will remember your promises. I will serve you. I will do what I said I would do. And that lasts how long? Until the next trial, until the next opportunity. God, help me with this bill. Thank you, Lord. This money came in miraculously until the other bill comes in. And then you start worrying again. Help me with my health issue. And God intervenes, and you get that help. And all of a sudden, you forget that, and something else comes along. Help me in this. Help me in this. And we forget. And verse 22, it says, then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because of Marah, it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? If I were God, I would say, you want water? Come back with me. Let's go back to the Red Sea, leave them there and cover them. All the water you want, right? They didn't do that. But they cried out, the water is bitter. Hello, what did he just do with hundreds of thousands of gallons of water? He moved it for you. You think he can take care of this as well? But isn't that much like us? Much like us when we're backed up on that wall and we're forced to cry out to God, how long does that faith last? So deep waters are the building blocks of faith. But we have to take those building blocks. We have to look at those trials and remember what God has done. And remember that, hey, he took us through. If he can do that, can he do the next thing? And the next thing? And the next thing? But what's our problem? We want it all now, right? How many of you got frustrated because traffic was longer than you expected? Or the person in front of you didn't take off right when the light went off and you're already honking your horn? Or that fast food line, right? Oh, come on, how long does it take to make a couple of hamburgers, you know? Or that person who doesn't know their order, right? I hate this one. Where they open up the window, they go, "Well, let me see." Yeah, you don't know what you want. Or they're calling someone on the phone. What do you want? We're so impatient because we want everything now. God says, "Come to me," but come to me for what? Your daily bread. Don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow has enough problems of its own. Watch what I can do for you when? Today. Watch what I can do for you today. And you will see that tomorrow will take care of itself. You take care of things one step at a time. One step at a time. So deep waters are the building blocks of faith. And secondly, deep waters are God's reminder that he has no obstacles. Or God's reminder that he has no obstacles. We have the obstacles. You know, I love what it said. As the waters parted, God's looking down and watching them go through, and he's watching the Egyptian forces, and he's keeping them away from that pillar of fire, separating them, right? And the clouds leading the people. So God's watching now. God sees everything. All the people can see is what? That's a lot of water. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of miles to cross. But God sees it all. We can only look at what's right in front of us. But God says, you don't need to look at what's in front of you. You need to what? Look at me and realize that I can do all things. But now we need those constant reminders that God has no obstacles. In a very similar situation, turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And this is a generation later. 40 years later, they got into the wilderness and they kept complaining and complaining and complaining and complaining. And God did miracle after miracle after miracle. So finally God said, you're not the people then for the promised land. Out of the million plus people who started the Exodus, guess how many people made it to the promised land? Two. Wow, that's not very good odds, but it was the two who chose to believe. It was Caleb and Joshua. So Caleb and Joshua was the leader at this point. Even Moses didn't make it because of his pride. Moses got to see it. God took him up to the mountain and says, you can see it. You were that close, but you chose not to go the whole journey. But Joshua, who was with you from the very beginning, chose to continue to believe and take the people through this. So in Joshua chapter 3, they're getting ready to begin their conquest of the promised land. And guess what? What did they come across? Another river. Not as big, but it's still a sizable river to get all the people across, get the army across, and then go into Jericho. So Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. It's not about Moses. It's not about Joshua. It's about the God that Moses and Joshua sees. They will know that I am your God, that I am the God who is taking you through all these deep waters, is taking you through these obstacles. So they're there. And then, and as for you, command the priest who bear the mark, who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Just stand still. You know, you would think, well, don't we need to paddle the water away or to dig a trench or to do something to change waters? No. The Ark is going to go there representing me, and the priests are going to stand still. Because I don't need their help. I just need to show that they're carrying the ark that's representing me, and the people will see that it's me who does this. It's not all these feet walking through that are going to move this water. It's not anything else but me. Stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua had said to the people, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And there's your building block of faith right there. Listen to what? The words of the Lord. Don't listen to your neighbor. Don't listen to your spouse. Don't listen to your mother. I'm in the wrong way, in the good way. Don't Don't listen to your boss or the opinions of what the news anchors are telling you. Don't listen to the popular opinions. Listen to what God's word says. And that will keep you from a lot of fret, a lot of worry. You know, every election cycle, we're all worried. God, aren't you in control? Every disaster, God, aren't you in control? Every 6.4 and 7.1 earthquake, right? God, aren't you in control? Yes, he is. But we listen to everything else around us. God says, listen to me. But the waters are so deep. That's okay. I can take you through the waters, through the trials and struggles of life. Listen to the word of the Lord. And Joshua said, here is how you will know that the living God is among you, that he will not without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing before you into the Jordan. The God, the only God of all, is passing before you. God is going what? First. God is, the Lord is my what? My shepherd. And what do you do with a shepherd? Follow the shepherd. Right? The shepherd's your first line of defense. The shepherd's the one with the rod and the staff. The shepherd, the one who's going to face the danger first. The shepherd's the one who's going to find the food first. The shepherd's the one who's going to protect you. And the shepherd's the one who's going to tell you where to lay down. Follow the shepherd. When we get ourselves in trouble, when we get ourselves in a mess, it's because we ran ahead of the shepherd. We try to figure it out on our own. God says, don't. The waters are deep out there. Let me make the path for you. Let me go ahead of you. Follow the shepherd. Verse 12, now therefore take 12 men from the tribe of Israel, from each tribe of man, and when the soles of the feet of the priests of bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters will come down from above shall stand in one, what? Heap. One heap. Same type of things went on there. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the ground, as for the people and those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were all dipped in the brink of the water. Now catch this parentheses. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of the harvest. This is the time of the harvest. This is not the time, this is not summertime when there's a twinkle. And right now if you see the Jordan River, there's parts where you can literally, from about me to David, I think here's Israel, and there's and I remember seeing the soldiers of Jordan right there. That close. That's what it is today, because they excavated it, they changed it, they channeled out some waters of it. But it was sizable, not as big as the Red Sea, but it was still sizable. And this was at flood season. So it was sizable, deep, and muddy. But when their soles of their feet touched the ground, it became what? Dry ground. Dry ground. It's an incredible miracle in itself. God did it again. So it's on dry ground. And the waters coming down from above stood and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that designs everything. And those flowing down toward the Sea of Arabia, the salt sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priest bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firmly on what kind of ground? Dry ground. And how'd they stand? Firmly. They weren't in muddy water. They weren't trying to grab their staff. They weren't even sweating. They just stood there on dry ground going, okay, it's time for the hundreds of thousands of people to cross over and to do what God had called them to do, because God is in charge and not us. God said, go to the other side, to Jericho. And what did he mean? Go to the other side. But there's a lot of water. Did I ask you if there was a lot of water? But behind us is Willa. What did I say? I said, go forward. What's our first word? You know, and as kids, right? You know, you've got kids or grandkids. What do they say? But what about this? But what about that? But what if this happens? What if? We don't know what's going to happen. All we know is what? God said it, his word. And you do what? You follow his word. You let him deal with the obstacles. You let him deal with the consequences. You let him deal with the problems. All we have to do is what? To deal with our relationship with God and go through the deep waters. Because he promised he will take care of you. He's going to take care of you. They were on dry ground and passing over dry ground until all the nation finished passing over Jordan. You think it boosted their faith a bit? This is the second generation. They didn't see the first sea crossing. They didn't see it. But think about this. The first sea crossing was by pressure. They had no choice. They didn't say God's going to do a miracle. They had to look to Moses, tell us what to do. Moses said, go forward. At least this one, they're getting a little bit more confident who God is. Okay, God's going to do something here. And to make sure that they remember that, look what happens next. Chapter 4. When all the nation finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men, one from each tribe, representing each family group, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. So when the priest stood on dry ground, the stones were shown under them. He said, each man, take us. Do you want me to carry this? Yeah, carry the stone over to the new place where you're going to lodge. And what do they do with them? And Joshua said, pass on before the ark of the Lord, each of you, into the midst of the Jordan. Take up for each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. So it's a sizable stone. That this may be a sign to you when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? You shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Remember what God did. Last time they didn't have the stones. This time the stones are there. God says, because I want you to remember that you didn't do it, that there was water here. Where these stones come from, these dry stones, these big stones, that these stones that are found under the water, how'd they get here? God did it. But he wanted you by faith to pick them up, to bring it over so the generations after you would not forget what God has done. So when God has done that incredible thing in your life, when he's restored you, when he's healed you, when he's taken you out of a mess, when he's healed a marriage, when whatever he's done, he's brought back a wayward kid, whatever it was he's done, remember, put up some kind of stone of remembrance and say, wow, God, you are what? This was represents the obstacle that you were able to defeat. Not that I defeated. It was the obstacle that you were able to defeat and bring me out of here into this. And it goes on and in time, and they passed over. And again, it reminded them that these stones are there to remind you and to remind your children of what God has done. Those are the stones of remembrance. There's a young girl who was unaccustomed to traveling, who was taking a train ride through the country, and it happened in the course of the day, the train was obliged to cross over a couple of branches of river and several wide streams. The water was always seen in advance, and she was a little panicked. She didn't understand how you can cross over safely. As they drew near to the river, however, a bridge appeared and furnished a way over. Two or three times, the experience repeated itself, and the child leaned back with a long breath of relief and confidence that somebody put bridges for us all the way. Somebody did the work. That's what God did for you. God went ahead of you in those storms of life, in those rivers that we have to cross, in those deep waters, and he's already built the bridges. We just have to find the path, and God says, cross right here. Are you sure? Right here? Right here. Cross. But, no buts. Listen to my word. Do what I called you to do, and cross over. George Mueller wrote this, God delights to increase the faith of his children. We ought, instead of wanting no trials before victory, no exercise for patience, to be willing to take them from God's hand as a means, I say and say it deliberately, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the very food of faith. We should take them out of his hand as evidence of his love and care for us and developing more and more that faith which he is seeking to strengthen in us. So, thank God for those trials. Those are your stones of remembrance. Thank God for that heartache. Thank God for that pain. That's your stone of remembrance, because guess what? You're still here. You're still going forward. Say, God, I thank you for this. It's kind of like going to a doctor and he has to draw blood, like I had to get this more, or cut something out, or do a procedure, and he's hurting you, but at the same time, you know, he or she is hurting you, but at the same time, through that hurt, they're doing what? They're helping you. When the doctor had to do that to Kina's feet that's causing that incredible brace, he's not doing this because I hate you. They care for Kina very much. This is, you know, he even texted and called and gave me, he goes, here's my cell phone number. Call me if there's an issue. She had an issue after the surgery. She wasn't supposed to stay in the hospital. The nurses couldn't get hold of him. I go, I'll get him. I text him. He said, don't worry, we'll take care of it. She goes, he just called back. And he said she can stay. I go, I know. He already told me. Because I knew he was going to take care of her. He didn't cause that pain so she could not get better. He caused that pain so there would be a way out. God didn't cause that pain or allow that pain to get you. He allowed that pain to do what? To make you stronger. And he says, but trust me, I'm going to get you through this. I will take you to the other side of where I told you to go. So deep waters are the building blocks of faith. Deep waters are God's reminders that he has no obstacles. And lastly, deep waters are the stepping stones to a closer walk with God. They're the very stepping stones to a closer walk with God. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, we're all familiar with this. So Jesus just finished feeding the 5,000. Right? An incredible miracle. And verse 22 says this, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. It's this incredible miracle. They collected the leftovers. What do we do now? He says, go to the other side. But it's late. It's dark. It's cold. The water's wet. Those are deep waters. He said, go to the other side. And at night, you know, you can be all day long, the winds are still. But what happens at night? The winds kick up. And here's another body of water. Here's another sea that they have to deal with. He says, what do you want us to do, God? I want you to go over there. Can't we wait? Go immediately. But go immediately to the other side. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Wow, didn't Jesus tell them to go? Isn't Jesus God? They're all alone a long way from the land. Seems like a problem, right? No. Hey, I control the winds. I control the storms. I control the dangers. I control the deep waters. My one and only deep sea fishing trip, because remember, I'm not a swimmer. I did water skiing one time, and I failed to ask an important question. You know, I had a life jacket. We were in Guatemala. It was during wartime. The resort was empty. The island here had the rebels. Here were the resort workers, so there was totally no man's land. So I go, what do I do? They said, do this, lean back, and you'll go up on your skis. We had a day off, so I did it. I'm getting up on skis. I go, hey, this is pretty cool. And I started doing those rooster tails. But I remember one thing. I knew I wasn't going to drown because I had a life jacket, but I didn't know how to stop. Where are the brakes, right? So let go after I was tired, leaned forward, and then just started running on what looked like, they said on shore, it looked like you were walking on water, kind of like this. But I forgot to ask, how do you fix this? But here, Jesus said, go to the other side, and I will what? I will take care of you. On my one and only deep sea fishing trip, we went on these little tonga boats, only three, the captain and two people. And first we get out to this place, and we're catching these fish like this. I go, this is pretty cool. They go, that's the bait. Okay? So we're catching bait like this. And then we're going out far to the other side where we can't see the land. And I notice one thing. I go, excuse me. My friend goes, what? He goes, I go, there's no life jackets. He goes, you don't need them. I go, but I can't swim. He goes, it doesn't matter. Even if you had one on, the sharks would get you before you got back to shore. True story. So, and you know what? That strangely gave me confidence. Okay, I'm not going to drown. But I should ask first on things, right? There's a pattern there. But here, the boat's far away. And the wind is against them, so you know they're getting beaten by water, by wind. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Because Jesus had no problem with the storms. He had no problem with the wind. He had no problems with the water. He had no problems with the cold. He had no problems with the distance. He had no problems with anything because he is God, the God of the deep waters. And even though you're getting tossed out there, he says, don't worry, I'm going to come to you. So he's come to them. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost, and they cried out in fear. But immediately, what would we probably would have teased them on, played with them, like, ooh, and did all this stuff. No, immediately, he spoke to them. He says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. What does the Bible tell us to do when we worry and are afraid? In Philippians, give everything to him by prayer and supplication. Or cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. He says, give it to him in prayer and supplication. And what do you get in return? The peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. Doesn't make sense, but you get peace. He says, fear not. It is I. Take heart. Do not be afraid. So when you're in the deep waters, when you're in those storms of life, when things aren't working out, remind yourself, I don't have to be afraid. I might not have the answer, but I have a God who has the answer. I have a God who knows the solution. I have a God who's already been here. I have a God who's looking up from above, and he can see the whole plan. I don't have to worry. If I what? Take heart in him and trust in his word. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Which doesn't make sense. They're in the boat. Jesus is coming to them. He says, don't be afraid. I would have just been hanging. Okay, God, come on. Get a little closer and we can end this thing. Because I want to go out to you. And what does Jesus say? He says very simply, come. Come on. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and he started coming toward Jesus. Circumstances are the same. He was afraid a moment ago. Right now he's looking at Jesus, and he's coming toward him. Can you imagine the other disciples? Like, wow. Right? But this is incredible until one thing happened. But when he saw the wind. How do you see the wind? The wind causes the waves. The wind blows the water toward you. Probably a fish came up and hit. I don't know. Maybe the water slapped him in the face, right? All of a sudden, he got startled, and he took his eyes off the Lord, and he looked at his environment. What was the difference? Nothing. Nothing changed. There was still a storm. Jesus still said, I am still God. You are still Peter. I can still take care of things. But what changed? Peter's perspective. That quickly. What changes with us? Our perspective. Look at the problem. Look at the God. Look at your God. Problem, God. Problem, God. And where you end up is going to change your heart. Your last look is that which you're going to hang on to. So if your last look is the Word of God, if your last look is that time of prayer, is that last look is your time of fellowship, that's what you're going to remember. If your last look is, oh, what happened last time? Or they let me down before, or nothing's working out, or it always happens to me, guess what you're going to hang on to? That which you made as your anchor. But if Jesus is your anchor, he's going to take you through to the other side. So he looked at the wind, and he was afraid. He did exactly what Jesus told him not to do. Jesus said what? Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Very simple. He didn't say, Peter, repeat the Apostles' Creed. Tell me the Ten Commandments. Tell me the good things you do. Tell me that last parable I just taught. He just said, don't be afraid. You don't have to do anything, Peter, but trust in me. But Peter saw the wind, and he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, what? Lord, save me. At least he did that right. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of it, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? So Jesus was still a long way off. They saw him walking. Peter saw him. Let me come to you. Come. I don't know how far Peter made it out, but he got close. He got within what? Arm's reach. That close. that close. And then he saw what was around him. And then he's saying, and Jesus got you. You of little faith. Right? That close to being a whole different person. But God still was working him with him. But as he's sinking, Jesus reaches out. He says, I told you not to be afraid. He pulled him out and he said, you of little faith. And our whole message has been about what? About faith. Not in you, not in your circumstance, but in your God. That is the whole point. And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. Didn't roll to a stop. Didn't stop. It, just like that. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Jesus going, hello? Didn't I tell you that? You should have figured that out when I was walking towards you. Yeah. But you are the Son of God. He goes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Trust in me. Believe in me. Believe in my word. And do not be afraid. With that, I'm going to have the men come forward, the worship team, and we'll conclude in just a moment. You might be saying, I can't cross the Red Sea. I can't cross the Jordan River. I can't walk on water. The waters are too deep. The storm is too big. And that's my point exactly. Because you're looking at the wrong solution. Your solution is, where are you looking? Whom are you looking to? He said, I will take you through it. Don't ignore it. Don't run away from it. But I will take you through it. A.W. Tozer wrote this, God is looking for people from whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we only plan the things that we can do by ourselves. God's looking for people to do the impossible through. Quit looking at yourself. Look toward him and say, God, I am ready. Take me through the river. Take me through the sea. Take me on the water. And whatever happens, Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. Let's pray. Father, we have come before you, some with heavy hearts, some who are tired of the storms, some who are looking at the walls of water, some who are looking at the armies behind us, looking at the storm in front of us, Father. But today we want a breakthrough. We want to look at you, listen to your word. Father, cross that sea, walk on that water, not because of what we can do, because you are the God of the impossible, Father. And we have an impossible situation. Father, right now, Father, whoever it is, let them release it to you right now. Put their eyes on you and not to be afraid anymore. Father, we give this to you in your Son's name. Amen.